Once a month or so, we now cross to N332. If you go to their website, n332.es, you will find information relating to driving in Spain, news about traffic, driving and motoring matters. And it's a brilliant resource, originally set up with a group of Guardia Civil traffic police officers who publish articles on their Facebook page. I'm delighted to welcome back to the show from N332, Mark Nolan. Morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Very, yeah, all good. And I have to say, I'm delighted to talk about something that I downloaded myself as soon as you put it up on your website. And this is a brilliant idea. It's a free ebook with the entire Spanish traffic law in English.
Yeah. Wherever we go, or whenever we go to do talks, presentations, meet people, whatever it might be, we always get the same questions, usually about roundabouts, about indicators, and always, number one is there an English version of the Spanish Highway Code? And the answer is, or was, no, it doesn't exist. What many people don't realise is when people in Spain are learning to drive, and it might surprise some people, there's actually four textbooks that they have to read, and they're legal textbooks. It's not the simplicity of the Highway Code, the English language, which is broken down into simple terms. It's very legal talk, and it's very complicated.
Yes.
And it's these four novels, almost, that they have to almost study and learn. So even the Spanish people don't really have a Highway Code as we would know it, although there is something that exists.
That's interesting you say that, because Hannah, who does our breakfast show, is studying that very thing at the moment in order to pass the multiple choice for her driving test. And she was saying that some of the translations leave a little to be desired.
Absolutely, yeah. And there are certain books available which driving schools issue in Spanish mostly. There are one or two available in English, of which we are privileged to have a couple of, incidentally, but they're like gold dust to get hold of. But that's the problem. It's very much, the translations are very much confusing, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And when it's these four books that they have to learn, it becomes a nightmare. Of the four books, one of them deals specifically with driving and driving laws. So it doesn't cover everything, because we've still got the other three books as well, but it covers the majority of things that take place. Now, what's happened in the space of about 18 months or so is we've had a team of volunteers working to translate the ebook in various sections. They've all dealt with their own area and all translated it. Then we've looked at it, myself and the Guardia Civil officers, and then broken it down further and said, well, okay, how do we really translate this without taking away from the original text? Because that's the point. We don't want to dictate what it says. What we want to do is say, this is the translation. And therefore, what has happened is the traffic officers, in particular Francisco Morales from the Torrevieja traffic police, has added commentary as well. So what we've done is we've said, okay, there's the law. Yes, it's confusing, but this is what the officer says this actually means. So we can do both. We can say, all right, this is a little bit confusing. Scratch your head. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And then, okay, this is what it does actually mean. The consequence of that is it's a massive document. And pictures as well. Far, far, far bigger than we anticipated. We'd asked, can we print it? Will it be available to take home? And the answer is simply no, because a book of that size would cost far too much to print. Nobody's going to want to pay 40, 50 euro for
yeah.
it. But that aside, what it does mean is when changes occur, and there are changes all of the time, we're able to just change pages in the ebook and reissue certain sections
right.
or reissue a certain page. Yeah. So therefore, it can be updated more frequently than a print book without anybody having to go through the expense or the drama of going out to the shops and buying it, or even having an out-of-date version. Now, when I first came to Spain some years ago, I bought a book about driving Spain, which was very useful. However, as a driving instructor, I already noticed there was a number of mistakes in it then. And as time's gone on, those mistakes are even worse, because some of the facts which were truthful then are no longer correct.
Right.
Children in cars, for example, has changed. The law has changed. And now children under 1.35 meters are not allowed in the front. Full stop.
Yeah. You may not know the answer to this, Mark. I may be putting you on the spot here. But as someone who's done this before, if you're to learn your ebook now, is the driving test up to date, or do they take a while to implement the new laws into the driving test?
Well, that's a very good question, because laws in Spain generally take around about 4 years to be passed. Now, with traffic law, and certainly the new Director General who's taken over, Pere Navarro, who's really quite a famous character within road safety. He's the person who implemented things like the point system, the motorway reduction system, etc. So he's responsible, effectively, for saving a lot of lives, and he's back now.
Yeah.
He's saying 4 years is too long. We've got to do this within a year, and in fact, we've got to do it quicker than that. So a lot of the laws that we're going to see over the next few months are literally just being put through Parliament now, and we're going to see the changes in the new year. So the problem with that is the normal administration will take a little bit of time to catch up.
Right.
But they're going to have to catch up. So yes, the driving test will have to reflect these changes, because if a speed limit on a secondary road, for example, which will be reduced very shortly, the test can't say, what's the speed limit on a secondary road?
Sure.
The answer is, 100 kilometers an hour. When it isn't, it's 90. So it has to reflect it. So there's a kind of a wave of, not necessarily panic, but a wave of excitement and a wave of change that people are now going within the administration. We really need to catch up. We've got to make these changes quickly, because people are dying, and that's the sad reality.
Yeah,
last week, we had the latest European and international statistics released, which say, and it's a daunting prospect, but every 26 seconds, somebody's dying on the roads right now. That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
And in the 5 minutes or so that we've been speaking, that's around 12 people have lost their lives on the roads since we started talking. And when you think of it in that sense, the figures are astounding, and it is frightening. But that is what we're talking about. We're talking about people's lives. So yes, the law has to change quicker, which is what Perry Navarro has said, and the administration, as you just asked, has to catch up, and it has to adapt. So yes, the tests will adapt accordingly.
Interesting. You mentioned a change there. There are a few changes, actually, but that one about speed limits is a very important one, isn't it?
Absolutely. We've already seen some changes come in this year alone. For example, emergency vehicles, fire engines and ambulances will have blue lights from now on, which is a European-wide standard. But in Spain, they've been trying to get it through for many years now, probably about 10 years in reality, which is what I say about the speed of the legal system being a little bit slow, is now coming to force. However, there's a two-year period where ambulances, fire engines can change their lights. So we'll still see a lot of orange lights, we'll see blue lights during the two-year transition. Taxi number plates, for example, this year will be have come in to be blue at the back. They've been given a year to change. We'll still see the old-fashioned number plates, and we'll see the blue ones coming in. So these have happened in this year. And in the next, literally in the next month or so, because it's going through as we speak now, we'll see the speed limits start to reduce on the secondary roads now, where from the UK, we have a system which we're aware of called the national speed limit, where we see a sign, a white sign with a black line through, and we think, oh, national speed limit applies. We know, therefore, on that road, we have to drive within a certain characteristic.
Yes.
The same principle applies in Spain, but we don't have the same sort of sign. Well, now on the secondary roads, where the maximum speed limit is 100 kilometres an hour, their roads, by the way, we know are the restriction, and our shoulder of more than 1.5 metres, that speed limit will reduce to a maximum of 90. Which again is in line with many more European countries.
Right.
Sweden has a maximum speed limit of 70. Other than that, many have 90. Spain is one of the fewer that have such a high limit on these secondary roads. And secondary roads is one of the locations where the majority of fatalities and serious injuries occur.
Right.
So of course it has to be a focus. Second to that, this week alone, the Interior Minister has said in towns and cities the speed limit is going to be reduced to 30 kilometres an hour from 50. Again, many towns, many cities already implement that, but it's going to become a national standard. Within towns and cities, there will be the ability for change. So if a road meets a certain criteria, then it could still be a 50 limit, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But a standard speed would become 30 kilometres an hour, not 50 in towns and cities.
How interesting.
Pedestrians, cyclists, motorcyclists, the more vulnerable road users are at a huge amount of risk. And reducing the speed limit by just 10 kilometres an hour saves lives. Reducing it by 20 will save more lives, and that is all about protecting lives. So these are changes that we will see happen literally in the next few months. The main road one, the secondary road one, is going through and will happen very early in January. The 30 kilometres an hour in towns and cities will not long be after that.
One can only hope that they actually do change the signs and don't just bring the law in without changing the signs.
Well, absolutely. That is one of the problems, because the changing the signs, of course, takes time to, and it takes investment to do, and it takes money to do, and then there's a lot of change that has to be implemented. But, of course, it does take time. In Torrevieja, where we're based, we've got a main road which heads in towards the town, and only 2 weeks ago they reduced the speed limit there from 80 kilometres an hour down to 50. All the signs are changed, nobody was notified about it, and a lot of the residents are in uproar. So, oh, this is ridiculous, you can't reduce the speed on this road. The speed limit is reduced to save lives. Whatever the reason, it's to save lives. And there are always arguments when speed limits are enforced or reduced. Some people say, for example, oh, it causes congestion because as traffic slows down, then there's more traffic on the road. That causes pollution, so it's not environmentally friendly. and then cars coming behind at a faster speed are shocked by cars in front that have slowed down, so it causes accidents. Now, of course, it's all open to debate, but the prime purpose of slowing vehicles down is to save lives. Yeah. So whatever the debate might be, please, yes, of course, it's open to debate, but let's not forget the principal fact is that it's to save lives. However, as you said about the signs have to change, in addition to the signs having to change, the drivers, of course, have to change.
Of course.
It's all very well having a speed limit, but we all know that we all, at some point or other, break traffic law, myself included, I'll admit it, and we all do something that is against traffic law, and it's up to us as drivers, really, to adhere to whatever those speed limits are, whatever the reason might be. It's not necessarily up to us to say, well, I don't agree with the speed limit on this road. It's there for a reason, and it's up to us to say, well, okay, I don't agree with it, however, I'm going to slow down, I'm going to adhere to it,
yeah.
Because anything could be around the corner, anything could be ahead that I don't know about, and therefore I have to trust the road planners that the roads are designed to be slower in this particular location, because at the end of the day, we are becoming more attuned to safer vehicles as cars are getting better and safer. More people are being saved because of the vehicle construction. More people are being saved because of in-vehicle technology, which is watching out for people, etc. Within the flight sector, there's also arguments, for example, of computers flying planes means that pilots don't fly planes as much now. In an emergency, pilots are not as tuned in to taking over. I've been arguing for a few years, by the way, but a similar thing is taking place in cars. As cars become safer, I believe drivers become less safe because drivers are no longer able or willing or prepared to be driving under the conditions. They're trusting the vehicles more.
Yeah.
And they're trusting the fact that we can be saved. And that's all great. That's all very well and brilliant that we can be saved, but not necessarily the more vulnerable road users. A pedestrian who's hit by a car that's got all of the safety features on doesn't really care that it's got all the safety features on because the impact is still the same.
Absolutely right. Good point. Now, obviously, Christmas on the way, and there is always an increase in surveillance at Christmas time, particularly for drivers who've consumed alcohol. But, of course, drugs is one that's not often mentioned, and it is a bit of a hidden demon.
Absolutely. There are three known periods of the calendar, Easter, summer, and Christmas, of course, where we do see an increase in the number of people who take to the roads having consumed drink, drugs, or both. Now, alcohol has become socially unacceptable over the recent years, and many people do sort of say, oh, you can't drink and drive, it's dangerous, don't drink and drive. Many years ago, it was okay, it was allowed. Now it's frowned upon, now it's socially unacceptable, and yet it still happens. We still see an increase in the number of people who have consumed alcohol at this time of year, and over the last week, Last week alone, we had the Christmas party season for offices and workers, etc. So there's 20,000 checks being taken place every single day on the road because it was a key time. Now, if it is socially unacceptable, why is it still happening? Why do we still need this surveillance, this increase? And why are more and more people still being caught at this time of year? It still happens. The UK's got a great campaign at the moment, which started not too long ago, a couple of years ago, about all about mates, and a mate would never let a mate drink and drive, and it's all a very lovey-dovey campaign. But it's all focusing on alcohol. And yes, drugs are a bit of a hidden demon, because there's two problems with drugs. Many people do consume recreational drugs and don't realise the impact those drugs can have when they drive, and so they do drive, not realising that they're incapable. The penalties are harsher for drug driving than drink driving. If someone's caught having consumed recreational drugs, for example, the penalty is the same as having been a habitual drink driver.
Right.
Because the impact is harsher, it's worse, having consumed drugs many times than alcohol. Alcohol is extremely dangerous, but so are drugs, and therefore drug campaigns are increasing as well. The awareness campaigns of, as much as possible, education of saying, don't consume alcohol before you drive, please. Whatever the limit, forget the limit, it's zero. And also don't consume drugs as well, because that is a major problem too. However, we also have the other hidden problem, certainly within the people of our age, no disrespect, who are maybe taking prescription medication as well, because prescription medication can also have an impact on how we drive. And there are many people who have failed drugs tests and have found themselves in trouble with the law without realizing. We say about people drug driving, and an image jumps into our head of maybe a heroin addict or someone smoking marijuana. We have an image that automatically jumps into our head. We don't necessarily think of a normal person like ourselves who's just gone to the doctor feeling a little bit run down and has been given some drugs. But that equally so is a problem because many of the drugs, the prescription drugs, cause problems for driving.
Yeah, it's a good point, and there's often a warning, isn't there, on there, don't drive or operate heavy machinery when taking these pills.
Absolutely. The drugs have a little symbol on them, a little car and a warning triangle, if there's a risk that they may cause problems. And then it's up to us as individuals to say to the doctor, to the pharmacist, how does this affect my driving? Will it affect my driving? Am I likely to fail a drugs test if I'm taking this? Am I likely to be safe or unsafe? It's up to us to get as much information as possible, because we can't necessarily go to the internet and search for the drug and say, does this cause me a problem? Because drugs can affect people differently, prescription drugs, depending on the combinations as well. So we have to try ourselves individually and say, look, is this going to be a problem? And if it is, don't drive. How inconvenient that might be, don't drive, because it is potentially a risk.
So, and also, we're not just talking here about cars, are we? We're talking about cyclists, we're talking about personal mobility vehicles, and even these kind of toy-like scooters that we're seeing all over the place.
Well, indeed. I mean, one thing that confuses many people in Spain is a vehicle is a vehicle. And what does that mean? Well, if a cycle is on the road, a bicycle is classed as a vehicle, and therefore it's covered by the same laws as a car or a bus or a truck. So if somebody's riding a bike down the road, they can't have gone to the pub, they can't drink and drive or consume drugs. They've got to adhere to the law. And yet I know some of the listeners are going to be saying, oh, cyclists go through red lights, go down one-way streets the wrong way, etc. Well, yes, they might do that, but they're not allowed to in law.
Yeah.
Just like a car isn't. A cyclist is not allowed to drink and drive or consume drugs and drive in the same way as a car. So if you think to yourself, well, I'm going to the pub tonight, I'll leave the car at home, I'll take the bike. No, it's the same thing, because it causes problems. You might sort of think, oh, a cyclist is just going to kill themselves. Well, not if they're wobbling down the road or in front of another vehicle. That vehicle has to swerve and avoid them, and that vehicle collides with somebody else. The impact can be as serious for a cyclist who's consumed alcohol or drugs as another vehicle of the car. So, yes, cyclists are covered. And you just mentioned two other things as well, personal mobility vehicles, mobility scooters, and these little toy-like things. We see many people going down the roads or on the pavements, whether they're adults or children or whatever, and they're on these little scooters or something.
Yeah.
Powered. They're still vehicles. If they're on the road, if they're allowed on the road, they're still vehicles, and therefore are still governed by the same laws, and therefore you can't drink and drive if you're on a little scooter. We've had cases recently over the past couple of weeks of people who have been on these little scooters having a whale of a time going round, and they've been stopped by the police and they've been breathalyzed and they've failed the drink driving test. Like, well, on earth, I'm not driving. Well, yes, you are, because you're on this scooter and you're on the road and you're presenting a hazard, and therefore they've been dealt with in the same way as the car.
Interesting.
So, yes, many people don't understand that as well.
How interesting. And mobility scooters as well, mobility vehicles, I should be more specific. Finally, there are some new laws in the new year which at last categorises them.
One of the problems that we've had with a lot of the vehicles, the smaller powered vehicles, which we classify or group together as personal mobility vehicles, because they're a vehicle that can only carry one, sometimes two people. So the electric wheelchairs, for example, plus these little scooters, and we've seen maybe some of the bigger ones that look a little bit like mopeds that are riding around, but they're electric, and you see them on the roads, and you think, is that a scooter? Is it a moped? Is it a motor? What is it? The problem is, many of these things have been imported into the country and used, and they don't physically exist within the legal structure. So if somebody's on one of these imported vehicles, and they're driving down the road, and they're stopped by the police then have to go, well, what is it? Exactly what categorizes that vehicle? Because every vehicle has a category of some form. So you can say, that is a car, or that is a van.
Yeah.
A Vauxhall Corsa, for example, is a vehicle. It could be a van, it could be a car.
Yeah.
The structure, the makeup of it is the same, but the category could be one or another. That's just an example. These vehicles didn't necessarily exist within any kind of category. So now they are going to be categorized. So in the new year, again, we'll see new laws come into place. One of the big changes is these the bigger vehicles that do look a little bit like mopeds or motorbikes, they will be categorized as mopeds, so the riders will have to wear a helmet. They'll have to have the vehicles registered. They'll have to have a number plate. They'll have to have insurance. So that's a word of warning for anyone thinking of buying them this Christmas if they see them being sold off by shops. There's a reason they're selling them off, because the law is going to change their story. And if you buy one for your grandson as a gift, then they may fall foul of the law when they then have to register them and have insurance and tax and so on. So that is one big change. However, that aside, we then have a genuine problem of people who use mobility scooters, and they will say disabled carriages, just to simplify what we're talking about. The mobility scooters we see every day that people genuinely need. Now, they also have fallen outside a category of a vehicle. The law was changed not too long ago where if they had to go on the road, well, how on earth do you get from your house to your mobility scooter if it has to be on the road?
Yes.
So the law was then changed slightly so that within municipalities, then local town halls could change the law. So a local town hall like Malaga, Torrevieja, for example, could say, well, within our area, you are allowed on pavements with your mobility scooter. Great. But then what happens when you go to the next town? And it changed from town to town. So there was no category as such that these vehicles fell into, and therefore many genuine people who needed these vehicles for mobility were a little bit outside the law, a little bit lost. Now, the law will clearly define what is allowed, where it's allowed to go, etc. And it will be a national law. There will still be certain areas where different municipalities can change certain things and can allow things in certain areas. Municipalities will still have a certain amount of autonomy. However, the fact will be people riding these vehicles or needing these vehicles will be able to say categorically, I am using this personal mobility vehicle because I have difficulty walking and therefore it assists me to get from my house to the shops, for example.
Yeah.
And therefore I know I can use this in this area perfectly legally, so long as I adhere to whatever I have to adhere to, whether I need lights or not or whatever. Whatever it might be, I will know that this vehicle falls within that category.
So right.
It's a great change and a very much needed change. Both for those people who need these vehicles on a regular basis and also those people who want to use them for leisure purposes, which is also a great way to get around. But, of course, it has to be done safely because the roads are dangerous places for many people and we want to avoid that danger as much as possible. So it's all about categorizing them so that people know exactly where they can use them and when they can use them, and protecting those who might be more vulnerable. So that will also come into play early next year as well.
Fantastic. Well, all of this is information that you can be gleaned from your website, the excellent website, n332.es. And is that where people download the free ebook from?
Absolutely, n332.es, you're absolutely right, it's a very easy website to remember, and you can just go there, and there is a link there to direct to all of the news, all of the articles, frequently asked questions, different laws, etc., and there's also a section for ebooks. However, if you just want to put n332.es/ebook, that will take you directly to it, and there you can read it online, you can download the PDF. It is a big document, as I said,
it is, yeah.
Pages, but it is therefore separated into 12 sections as well. So if you're on a slow internet, you can download the individual sections and then stitch it together yourself. So it's there for the people with slower internets, poorer computers as well, or download the whole thing or just read it online. And absolutely, you can just either read through it from start to finish. You can just see the areas which are important to you. It's not the end of the ebook, by the way. We are still developing different ways of getting the information across. What we want to do is get information to as many people as possible. We're now developing a website to accompany the ebook. So the website will be just the ebook, again, updated as soon as the law changes. And we're developing mobile phone apps as well, so we can have it as an app on our phone instead of an ebook. So all of this development is still taking place in the background. We're still continuing into the new year with different changes as best as we can, with the hope of getting the information across, with the one aim, at the end of the day, of trying to keep people a little bit safer on the roads.
Well, it's been great to talk to you this year. We will do it all again next year and keep in touch with you, Mark, and follow what's going on. But people should make their way to the website, n332.es, and they can find that ebook there and all the other information. Mark, have a lovely Christmas. We will talk to you again in the new year.
And your pleasure, Bill.
Appreciate the time. Cheers.